Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to project the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another Money Show with JR Rochford and Anthony Correo and the one and only Sam Davis, our producer, life coach, the adult in the room. We love our Sam. So thank you so much for taking time out of your Easter weekend to be with us. We are a little table of contents for you. We're going to be a little bit doom and gloomy just for the first segment today. You know, one thing that's really heavy on my mind, a lot of what we talk about, I'm not sad for me. I'm almost 60. I've seen a lot. I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I went to college. I did different things in my life. You know what I'm sad for? You and Sam. I mean, you guys being young, what are you going to see? I mean, if we get through Russia and Ukraine, we get through viruses, if we get through the $30 trillion in debt, your generation has to deal with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. You know, everybody wants their kids to do better than they did. And it seems to me like that's going to be tougher and tougher. So a lot of the approach I take is based on waking people up. People have to talk about it. You know, next to your health, your wealth is probably the second most thing on this planet. So we really have to be aware of what's going on and we have to try to work on it. You know, with that said, I mean, last week it was the whole show was a little bit heavy. You know, I do want to recap last week's show because I think it's important, but I do want to get it out of the way in the first segment so we can get to some productivity on the second, third, and fourth segment.
But even last week, I mean, all that stuff we talked about, like, it's good to have. It's not bad financial planning, period. You know, having hard assets, being knowledgeable, some cash at home, like, that's all just good stuff to be doing regardless of what's going on in the world around you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, ask anybody that lived through Superstorm Sandy or Hurricane Katrina. It's always better to be prepared, you know, usually before the storm. Our whole theme was proactive over reactive. So and last week, a couple of things we talked about, your 401k, you know, make sure you know what allocation options you have. We brought up the money market and the stable value fund. You know, when's the best time to buy a home alarm? It's before the burglary, not after. So right now, I mean, everybody's seeing the volatility ramp up. There are people that are wondering, are we heading towards another 2008? So get on it now. You know, call your HR, call Fidelity, Vanguard, whomever your account is with. Call us. We'll be a second opinion. We won't charge you to do it. We'll look at your statement with you, give you some ideas what you have, but you need to know, you know, you have a money market or a stable value. The time to know about that is when you're resting and not when you're in an emergency. You know, we talked about inflation. Inflation gets real heavy. We're at what, a 41 year, you know, high inflation at this point.
Yeah, they say it's over 8% now. What's the number?
Yeah, that's crazy. And the important stuff, food, healthcare, childcare, housing, the things we need. This is problematic. You know, we hinted at the fact that this country has avoided the world's trials and tribulations. I mean, I don't know if we could ever experience hyperinflation in this country, but I'm not sure we're prepared. So, and the inflation we can grasp right now, get ahead of it. You know, I mean, when people look at the grocery stores and they say that, you know, I went to buy something, cream cheese, whatever, and it was out, well, you go back a week later and it's back on the shelf. So people, you know, I call it rolling shortages. You know, it's not really that problematic yet. So, but if this grows legs, you know, you really need to be aware. You need to be aware, awake, and nimble on things. So I would tell people anything, soap, shampoo, stock up, you know, get ahead of the game. The toilet paper shortage a year and a half ago, if you haven't, you don't need it. So what? But if you need it, you don't have it, you have a problem. So I would encourage people to make sure, you know, they're being aware and stocking up. We did talk about hard assets. You know, the number one that people ask us questions about are gold and silver. And my caveat to gold and silver, you know, yes, it's a store of value. Yes, you're going to have something if the dollar does keep devaluing. You know, if it collapses, you're going to have something. Part of the problems, first of all, you can't eat it. So I would rather have food in my house than gold and silver personally. The other thing is it makes you somewhat a target. You know, I'll be real blunt for a second. If you have gold, if you're, you know, wealthy and you have $100,000 worth of gold and I have a rifle and gold goes to $20,000 an ounce, you will not be able to buy my rifle. I shall be able to relieve you of your gold. And I'm the good guy. I'm just, you know, there's people out there that aren't the good guys, and that's how they think. My second problem, people say that they buy it so they can barter. Well, I have a question. I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say 20% of the country has gold and silver. That means 80% of the country does not. So you've shrunk your barter base down to 20%. So that's not really good odds. You know what? I'll give you an alternative, or in addition to gold and silver, buy cartons of cigarettes. Put them under the bed in the guest bedroom. Buy alcohol. I mean, I'm starting to sound like I'm a salesperson for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
You're doing a great job. Maybe you'll get promoted.
Right? I'm going to get a government job, which will be nice. So, and my thing about pension. Oh, yeah. That'd be nice, too. Oh, but I thought you said last week pensions were going away. Oh, wait. That was the first week. So, but alcohol and tobacco, if you buy a few cartons of cigarettes and you put them under the bed, if the stores close, if the shelves are bare, and you take an average smoker pack a day, what are they going to want more from you, the tobacco or the gold and silver? I have a feeling I know the answer. You know, if you're a person that drinks, you know, I mean, go to Total Wine and More, BevMo, you know, don't go to Sam's Club or Costco. Don't try to save money on this, but go to BevMo or Total Wine and More. In the back of the store, there's these mini bottles. We used to call them airplane bottles. They're under a dollar a piece. Spend $1,000 getting a ton of those things. Put them in a big Tupperware bin under the guest bedroom bed. You know, put that stuff away. Somebody that drinks, if they haven't had a drink in 2 weeks, that is gold to them. So I'm just having you think outside of the box. You know, if you are going to barter, if that is a priority, be ready. You know, last thing we touched on last week that was, we had a negative slant, the banks. I mean, we're extremely worried. Not worried, we're concerned. Is that a better word than worry? We're concerned about the stock market, the bond markets, but we're equally as concerned about the banks. I mean, we, you know, during 2008 correction, they talked about the word bailout. We all got familiar with a bailout. Well, now you need to familiarize yourself with a new term called bail-in. It's actually not a new term at all, but most people have never heard it. Make sure you do a little research. Look up the word bail-in and see what that means. The best example I can give you of recent times is Greece. But kind of read what happened in Greece and then picture, could that happen here? So, and we did tell you a lot of what we say, it's like, well, yeah, you guys wear a tinfoil hat. You're all doom and gloom, but do your own research. I mean, let us plant the seed. You make it grow, you know, do a little internet search, go on FDIC.gov. We talked about covered accounts. If you have under $250,000, you feel pretty good because you have FDIC insurance. Well, what we pointed out to you last week, and we got this directly from the FDIC.gov site, is that that covered money is covered by 1.27% of insurance. So I'm not good with numbers or math, but Anthony, if I have $1,000 in the bank and you're covering me by 1.2%, about how much is covered?
I'll give you $12 of that back. Oh, and 70 cents. We'll round up to $13 because I'm a nice guy.
So if there was a modern day run on the banks and this started happening 2008, beginning of 2009, this was happening. Silver State Bank, you know, by us was Desert Hills Bank. They're no longer. Remember WaMu? Remember all the names? You know, ING, big insurance company, big financial institution, the International Veterans Group.
You actually saw FDIC take over a bank. Like, you sat there and witnessed it from the office.
I did. It was a Friday night. It was after 5 o'clock, and it was really like the movies. Black SUVs pulled into our parking lot. We have a big, huge front window, and I saw this, and it was actually, I believe it was after 6 o'clock, because I know I'm still working because I'm a hard worker. But anyway, so the bank's closed. And a few guys get out with suits on, and I'm, you know, it piques my interest. So it turns out that what happened was these people were from the FDIC and they were coming to close the doors of the bank. You know, the manager, Maria, I wound up talking to her over the weekend. She said they were there until after midnight and they were going through files and they were taking stuff, and it was just very creepy. So, and I did have a little bit of money. I had $5,000 in the bank. And it was weird to me because I was like, well, what happens to my $5,000? You know, do I get it back? Is it lost forever? So it's a weird feeling. So with all this negativity, I have to tell you again, you know, I mean, really, when I think about why I'm sad, it's for you guys. You know, my wife and I have three sons, his, hers, and ours. We always want our kids to have a better life than we do. It seems like there's so much that you have to deal with, and I'm concerned. You know, I know, Anthony, you're what, 31? You're not supposed to have to be worrying about all this stuff, but you really can't ignore it. You know,
but
you
thanks
can't.
To you, I am now. You know, I was happy once before I really joined the office and started working with you. Maybe I'll go back to engineering.
That's not a bad idea. And you probably make better money that way too. And people would be nice to you. You know, it's funny because somebody that I dearly love said to me one time, you know, why do you worry about this stuff? There's nothing you can do about it. And I was like, well, you know, your thinking is what I have a problem with. You know, you're right. There's nothing I can do about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, $30 trillion in debt. But what if a million of us turned off the Masked Singer, didn't worry as much about the Super Bowl? You know, we need to start a segment called What's More Important Than the $30 trillion in Debt? You know, everything. Last weekend was the Masters. Yeah, there's so much going on. So, but anyway, I started thinking, I was like, yeah, but you're the problem. I still love you, but you're the problem. It's like, we need to wake up. We need to get together. We need to address this stuff now. You know, go online, look up the U.S. Debt Clock. It's usdebtclock.org. There you go. Free plug for the government. It shows we're at $30 trillion in debt. We tipped over $29 trillion in debt on December 1st, 2021. Not even 6 months ago, we hit 29. 2 months later to the day, on February 1st, we rolled over to $30 trillion. You know, it happened to be Super Bowl week. So who gives a crap? Nobody even noticed it. But I mean, I'm telling you what, it's going to be problematic sooner or later.
There's so many people that are broke, just have no money right now. Every single taxpayer has to pay almost $250,000 to even try to get this debt under control.
Well, that's the question is, do they? Can they? How does this end? I mean, you know, we can talk about digital currencies. We can talk about the world reserve currency. A lot of that takes us pretty negative, but you know, we have to deal with it. And by the way, that $30 trillion, that's on the books. That's not unfunded, underfunded liabilities. That's what we owe on the books. So this problem is a little bit deeper than we're seeing on the surface. So, but being Easter weekend, that's all I have for the doom and gloom. We're actually going to get a little more productive. We're going to give you some good financial tools in the next three segments.
Nice. And if you have any questions about things we've talked about so far, you can find us at rochfordfinancial.com. That's rochfordfinancial.com. And there's a phone number. There's a little contact button too. You can email us. We'd love to hear your thoughts, answer any of your questions. Get your motor running.
Head out on the highway.
Welcome back to another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Thanks for sticking with us, especially on Easter weekend. So the first segment we recapped last week, you know, a little doom and gloom. Now we're going to go a little more positive on you. We want to actually give you some solutions, not always give you just the problems. So one of the things that we deal with in our office quite a bit is we deal with wealth transfer, generational wealth transfer. We deal with how to get ahead. And yes, our first recommendation is always win the lottery. I mean, duh. You know, it was so funny. I used to buy lottery tickets when I was new in this job, and my father would make fun of me. And I used to recite the little Arizona lottery. I was like, well, you can't win if you don't play. And he's like, you know what? You don't understand. He's like, the odds of winning are identical whether you play or don't play. And I was like, you know what? You do what you want with your money. I'll do what I want with mine. So fast forward about 2 years, my father never let off me on these lottery tickets. He was like, that's a tax on the poor. He's like, it is just so dumb. And I saved more than I spent. I did insurance. I paid my bills. I did everything I was supposed to. So one day on the pick, I hit five numbers and the multiplier. They had a multiplier ball. So this thing paid $10,000. I mean, I was one number away from $1 million. But with my 10 grand, I didn't tell them. I went downtown, university, to the office, get my 10 grand. They held out federal and state tax, took my $7,500, bought my father a case of his favorite wine, bought my wife Sandy step bars for her GMC Yukon, and I bought a little DVD player that played little DVDs and movies, put the rest in the bank, gave my father the case of wine, and asked him to kindly back off. So, and you know the end of that story. He never did. He never did. He still made fun of me until his dying day. He made fun of me for the lottery tickets.
Which yeah, I still I will say, I've met a lot of people. I have never seen anybody win the way JR wins when it comes to lotto and casinos. He's just a lucky guy.
That's because I only tell you when I win. I don't tell you that I'm homeless. I don't tell you that I'm living in my car. I'm just hoping you never come by the house and see that I don't live here anymore. So let's get into some good financial information for people. We have all kinds of methods that we help people transfer wealth. Tell me, Anthony, what's one of our favorites?
Our favorite for generational wealth transfer and inheritance is life insurance. And I know people, you know, as soon as you hear life insurance, you just kind of shut down. Like, you don't want to listen to it. But there's some good strategies to it, you know. And when we talk about strategies, we're not talking about be your own bank and the infinite banking concept. And, you know, there's a time and a place for all kinds of things. But we like life insurance for just what it was meant for, you know, death benefits. There's only two guarantees in life. What are those, JR?
I believe that's death and taxes. And I did say less doom and gloom. And then right away you bring up death and taxes. Good work, Anthony.
We're going to put a positive spin on death and taxes, especially because with death benefits for life insurance, there is no taxes, right? So who wants to pay taxes? Nobody wants to pay taxes. So there you go. We got a positive spin. Now, life insurance for the death benefit. A lot of people talk about term policies. They're insanely cheap. You know, it covers you, you know, while you have a mortgage, while you have a young family, when you have dependents, you know, after that, you're going to be self-insured. You don't need life insurance anymore. And that's true. You know, after a point, you are self-insured. Would that little extra money, should your spouse pass away, be nice? Absolutely. But do you need it? No. Is it something you want to keep continue paying the premiums for? So term insurance, the downside to term insurance is the odds are you receiving that death benefit are less than 2%. They don't pay out. That's why insurance companies can afford to sell it to you so cheap, because they know you're going to buy it because you know there's a need for it, but you're going to buy it and you're never, it's like renting. You're never actually going to get the equity. You're never going to get the benefit of owning that property because you don't own this policy.
So term insurance is like renting an apartment. As long as you're paying your premiums or your rent, you have it. If you pass away during the term, your spouse gets the death benefit. So more permanent, which you're about to talk about, that is more like buying a house. You're building equity. Is that how I should look at this?
Oh, absolutely. And here's why we say that. So say you are a young family. Say, you know, you've got a 30-year mortgage. You've got a new kid on the way. Could you buy term? Absolutely. But what if you get a permanent policy? What if you get an indexed universal life, a guaranteed universal life, a whole life policy? Which we will say whole life policies are great, but they are very expensive. Lots of bells and whistles. You can do very similar things with IULs and GULs. You know, when we're talking about the death benefit is all we really want to accomplish out of it. So you're a young family. We'll say you've got an indexed universal life instead of a term. Well, what happens after 30 years? Your mortgage paid off. Your kid's out of the house. He's got, you know, maybe he's got his own spouse and starting his own family. Well, if you're self-insured at this point, you've got that conversation. Do I want to continue this policy? Yes, it's for life, but do I need it? No, not necessarily. Well, why not pass it down to your child? Why not have them become the owner, take over the premiums? Now they're going to pay a premium for elevated death benefit that it's guaranteed. If these are policies are for life, if you're going to have it till you're 100, 120, you know, there's a guarantee that eventually at some point, if you continue to pay your premiums, you're going to have this massive benefit. And there's a saying too, you know, what's the easiest way to turn cents into dollars? It's through life insurance. You know, and this strategy, this is for families. This is looking generations down the line. You know, this starting a policy isn't really going to help yourself because all the benefits in Yeah, all the benefits and death. So there's some selflessness to it. Do you want to help your family down the line?
Well, so, when we refer to our 10 pillars, one of the biggies is tax. And I'll tell you what, I mean, if you leave a child or a grandchild $500,000 of insurance, you know, what's it going to be worth then when you don't take out taxes? I mean, that's huge. You know, I like the fact that you have insurance. You're not married, no kids yet. But the old saying, you're insuring future insurability. So you got your insurance now while you're young, and then you get married in a few years, you have kids, it's already in place. You got it at a younger date of birth, so it was less expensive. So, I mean, as much as people hate to hear about life insurance, it's important. It's a really good leverage for wealth transfer, for creating wealth. I mean, how do wealthy people get ahead other than the lottery? You know, buying a business, building it up and selling it, inheriting it, you know, life insurance. So we need to have normal people really understand life insurance and how to work it.
Yeah, this is very much a strategy used by the ultra wealthy, but why is nobody talking to middle-class families about this? It's because it's easier for us to sell you a term policy because you know there's a need for life insurance and it's affordable. Like I said, you know, there's no real benefit to you in this. It's just knowing that you'll have something to pass down. You know, being in Sun City, we have a lot of clients that worry about inheritance and what they're going to be able to pass down to their kids. And they're afraid to live their lives. They're afraid to spend their money. You know, with this, spend all your money. Die Broke, I think, is JR's favorite. Was that a book?
Love that book, Die Broke. Make sure you spend every dime. Make sure your last check to the mortuary, make sure it bounces. Yep.
Yeah, you worked hard for that money. You enjoy it. Start this strategy for your children. Have your children take over and teach them to do it for themselves and then their children.
With all this death talk, why don't we lead into break? You know, thank you so much again for joining us on Easter weekend. We're JR and Anthony. You can reach us at RochfordFinancial.com. Again, Rochford Financial, which is ROTCHFORD, financial.com. And after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about financial solutions, not just problems. Stay with us.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to another Money Show with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford. We're just, you know, talking about hard assets, things that we're watching with the bank. We've talked about how to use life insurance to benefit future generations. Well, now let's talk about taking care of yourself. Long-term care, we're in Sun City again. You know, where does all your money go in retirement after the initial honeymoon phase when you're traveling and having fun and hanging out at the beach? JR, I mean, you've got clients in their 90s, you know, almost reaching 100.
Doctors, go to these people's homes. When you get into their home, look at their calendar. Monday, podiatrist. Tuesday, optometrist. Wednesday, general. It's amazing. And these people, they still get dressed up. They get dressed up and they go to the doctor's appointment. I mean, this is an event. So, you know, and when we talk about long-term care, the whole thing, insurance is always a foundation. It's a base. This is what you have to have in place. And then you do the exciting stuff. So at long-term care, my father was actually the long-term care manager for MetLife in Phoenix. So I do have a good solid background on this. And how I see it, you know, I mean, a quarter of a century in my office, everybody needs to have a plan. You know, on the base plan, it might be Altex. It might be a reverse mortgage. It might be something that I would say, you know, has a pretty negative connotation for most people. I can tell you a better plan for you. Address it as early as you can and address it using long-term care. You know, part of the thing, I would say 100% of all women need to address the need for long-term care insurance, and 60, 70% of the men need to address it. Without a crystal ball, I'm not sure which ones. So I approach everybody with this.
But why only 60, 70%? Why not all the men?
We die younger and more suddenly. We have more of the heart attack, strokes. You know, I mean, women have osteoporosis and arthritis, and they live longer to begin with. If you're a male, the mortality tables say you're going to die younger anyway. So, and
what was the
you know, really
about that.
What's that?
The joke about why the men passes first.
Please don't say because we want to. Don't get us in trouble, Anthony.
You know, out just of carrying the, on the doom and gloom and death from the other segments. I wanted to just throw that in there real quick.
That's great. And, you know, we don't know how many people are listening to us. We do know some of our clients are listening to us. Those are the ones that are going to call us and give us a little hard time about that one. So long-term care, what do we do about it? You know, the traditional pay long-term care that we've gotten used to, you know, the problem with it was always priced to sell. It really wasn't priced to keep. So if I went to somebody in their 60s, got them the plan that was appropriate for them, and it was $400 a month, the problem is they never drop them. And care is extremely expensive. So as the days have gone on, the insurance companies have, they won't stay solvent. So they've raised the premiums. And each state has an insurance commissioner, an insurance department. They're letting the insurance companies raise the premiums so they stay solvent. So, and what that means, if you can't be picked on. If I'm a man in my 60s and I get a stroke or cancer, they can't raise my premium because of that. But they can say every 60-year-old male in the state of Arizona, we're going to raise that across the board. And the insurance commissioner is going to say, of course you can, because they don't want these companies into receivership. They don't want to have to cover, you know, the state guarantee fund doesn't need to come out and cover this. So they let the insurance companies raise the prices. And one thing I always make sure we let people know, dig out your policy, take a look at your declaration page. There is, in these policies, there's a stop loss. So at younger ages, it's more, older ages, it's less, but the most they can raise your premium is 200%. And if I go to you and I say, you know, I'm sorry, you were paying $400 a month. Now you're going to have to pay $800 a month. That stinks. I get that. But if you're nearing, if you're starting to have health changes, if you're 80 and you're seeing, you know, things are changing, you know, you want to be careful dropping that. Some you get whatever you paid into it. There are different features to it, but we need to look at that, because the worst thing you can do is pay for this thing for 20 years. And just when you're getting closer to needing it, you drop it. So we want to make sure, you know, call us. We'll be glad to review it with you. We will not charge you to do so. You know, we'll show you exactly what you have. If we need to, we'll call the insurance company with you and ask some questions. You know, our biggest thing, as always, proactive over reactive.
I mean, that's kind of like the term policy too, right? You're paying for it. And then as you're getting closer to that age where that there could be a payout, now you're dropping it because you don't want the premiums. I mean, that'd be devastating to spend all that money on long-term care for that long and then just not be able to afford it towards the end by the time you actually need it. So we do have alternatives to that where you're not just wasting premium for something you may not use. And we will start off the next segment with that when we get back from commercial break.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll see you in a minute. And don't forget, check us out on RochefordFinancial.com. And we're here for you with any questions you ever have.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Welcome back to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. We're so glad you joined us, especially on an Easter weekend. So we just to give you a little summary of our last segment, we talked about long-term care insurance. We talked about alternatives, reverse mortgage, Altex, you know, private pay, how that landscape's changed over the years. You know, one more positive spin on this I want to address. There are things called living benefits. You can take a life insurance product, you can take a fixed annuity, and you can put a rider on it that actually gives you other benefits. We've used one in the past that we call the tripler. We stole that name, by the way. But the tripler, what happens, you put $100,000 into a long-term care policy, and it's on a fixed annuity. So if you need the money back as income, you take it out. You do have to be mindful of contingent deferred sales charge, which is a fancy word for backside declining surrender charge. So you have to be aware of that, but you can turn these into an income stream. You can also, if you pass away, your beneficiary gets your $100,000 plus whatever's grown to it. It kicks up a little bit, but the real reason we use them as a long-term care alternative is with the tripler, you put in $100,000. And if you need care, if you need benefit, it goes up to $300,000. So, and how is that not too good to be true? First of all, the insurance companies, they use your money first. So they deplete your money first. You know, and I know Genworth was one of the companies that had a wonderful study every year about it. But the average need for nursing care, you know, last time I looked, it was like 2.6, 2.8 years you need care. Either you get better or you pass away. So this tripler, they're good with math and numbers. They understand the mortality tables. They understand who's going to need it. So, and it just to leverage your money, you know, take part of your assets and use it if you need it for income, if you need it for death benefit, if you need it for long-term care, that's beautiful. And the problem, most people don't know about them. So let us know if you have questions, if you want us to review your policy. You know, again, we don't charge for it. We have such a passion to try to help people, one person, one couple, one family at a time. So use us.
Let's talk about that, the bonus to this asset-based long-term care. I mean, traditional long-term care, you pay the premium and you may or may not use it one day. You may pass away before, or, you know, we talked in the last segment, maybe they raise the charges so much that you can't afford the premium anymore. When you talk about asset-based long-term care, this is money that was already yours. So you're paying, you know, if you've got the $50,000, $100,000, you know, should you need it, you can take it out. You can do different things with it. It's still your money, but all the bonus, all the, you know, the whole reason for that, why we talk about it is should you need it for long-term care, now it triples your money, but you get to keep it. Or as opposed to traditional long-term care, I mean, you're paying premiums and you may or may not ever use it. Well, this way you can keep your money.
We all want to die peacefully in our sleep. So yeah, I mean, insurance, we're used to it being hopefully a waste of money. So this is one you're saying, no matter what happens, it's not a waste of money. I love that. I mean, that's leveraging your money. It's my father used to call that repositioning your assets for a better result. And I love that. If we can better your situation, that's a win-win-win.
Your dad was a smart guy. He said some smart things sometimes.
Why didn't you ever say that when he was with us? Why are you saying that now?
Oh, I'm not going to say it about you ever. So maybe when you pass away, maybe I'll start saying good things. When I get that life insurance check, that's when I'll, you know, JR, he was a nice guy. We like
him. He was a good guy. Well, don't get all excited. I'm not going to pass away for months. So this segment, let's talk a little bit about income. Let's talk a little bit about your money. You know, tell me a little bit, you know, traditionally financial planning has been based on your date of birth, your income, your assets, your tax bracket. So the shift, if you've ever heard of Tom Hegna, the movie, The Baby Boomer Dilemma, there's a lot in the media now about the shift away from gathering assets to gathering income. Tell me a little bit about that, Anthony. Tell me why income is so important.
Well, let's back even a little bit further than that. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you're probably, you know, retiree age. You know, maybe you have a pension with an old employer. Maybe your parents had a pension with an old employer. That's what retirement was, is you dedicate yourself to an employer and you get a pension to retire. Well, that's not a thing anymore. And that kind of died away in the 80s with the 401k, you know, and people talk about how great the 401k is, but the 401k was really just the death of a pension. You know, unless you've got a government job now or certain, you know, I know some utilities companies that have pensions, but it's really not there anymore. You know, you can't dedicate yourself to a career or a job and they're going to take care of you for us. Now it's on your shoulders. You know, 401k, there might be a match, but at the end of the day, it's still you funding your own retirement. So
what if we have another 2008? I mean, you're saying if I work in whatever field I'm in, that's what I'm an expert in. I don't know if I'm qualified or have the time to do that. I mean, how do you address right. that for people?
And imagine heading into retirement and not knowing that there's a stable value fund, not really understanding what your allocation options are. You know, you're going into 2008, you're about to retire, and all of a sudden it's cut in half. I mean, how do you plan for that? You can't. So the whole thing, right, with 401k assets, was it Fidelity put out a statement years ago about, you know, you have to have no debt and assets outside, excluding your home, of $1 million. And that's when you're happiest in retirement, right?
Yeah. And they were basically saying, if you're debt-free, if you get to be 65, based on the mortality tables, if you have $1 million put away, you're safe. You're home free. You won the game. But then years later, they revamped that. And I believe it went from one to like 2.5 million. And I don't know about you, but well, yeah. And how many people have $2.5 million? You know, I realize some of us do, some of us don't. I mean, but not all of us do. And you look at, I mean, what's the big gorilla in the room? Healthcare. The reason we're talking about generational wealth transfer, long-term care, we want you and your family to maximize your situation. So there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, we're still behind the scenes. Our government is working on Medicare for all. That is a possibility. So, I mean, Fidelity Now, they might come out and say, you need $5 million, you know, debt-free and $5 million to get through life expectancy at 65. So
which is something very rarely that we see. I mean, we handle multimillionaires down to true fixed incomes. We do not have a lot of people just wandering through the door with $5 million, which means nobody would be retired.
Well, and we're not buying demographics lists. I mean, we are, you know, a true mid-level family-owned practice. I mean, we're not buying the list of just movie stars and sports figures. You know, we're anybody that comes through the door, we do our best to assist them.
But if you're a movie star or a sports figure, we would love to have you, especially if you're a San Francisco Giant.
We're talking to you, Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman. There's a bunch of people we want to help. We know you need help, and we're here for you if you need us. They're authors. How can they give unregistered? Oh, wait, we got to be careful. We can't.
All right. So let's talk about what we're actually talking about. So right. 401ks. Now, mindset went from I'm going to have a pension, I'm going to have lifetime income, to now I've got this nest egg, this massive amount of money, and I need to not screw that up. I need to live off this for the rest of my life. Well, the old rules, right? I could live off 4%. The market goes up historically about 7%. You should never outlive your money. But again, trying to retire in 2007, 2008, or imagine, you know, March of 2020, trying to retire and all of a sudden you get a 20% drop in 1 month. Like that affects your 4% and your livelihood. So I don't really understand right now while we're working, your whole objective through your working life is have more income than you have bills going out, than you have money going out. Make more than you spend. That's simple. We're not saying collect a ton of money and then just live off that and hope for the best. But that's when we made the switch to 401ks in retirement, that's essentially what we've told people is good luck. Here's your money. You made this. Don't screw it up. But well, there's no way to guarantee that you don't screw it up.
When one common thread, everybody that we assist, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You're always worried it's not enough. Everybody's worried about running out of money. And that's, you know, how do we circumvent that?
Yeah, it's hilarious to see that mindset because it really, truly doesn't matter. Your assets in retirement do not matter. Coming back to your working life. What matters is, do I have more coming in each month? If you have a ton of savings and not enough income each month, you're going to spend down your savings. But if you have excess income and no savings, what does that mean? Well, you got excess income. You've got more coming each month. Then you add to your savings. Your savings builds up. So focusing on, you know, we're going to say this a lot in all these programs. Build a base, have a foundation for your retirement. Once you have your foundation, you know, you can invest in whatever you want. You can diversify. You can, you know, take risks, take gambles, you know, but if you don't have a base, how do you afford to do that? You know, you can't risk stuff that you don't have. So the only way to do that, you know, if find a way to phrase this properly, pensions aren't necessarily a thing of the past. You can self-fund pensions yourself, and people don't understand that. So I'm going to use a dirty word right now, and we're going to see how many people we scare off. We say the word annuity. Is it? Do we lose? I think we lost all of our listeners. Sam even left. Sam's gone. He's out of here.
I think the word annuity, obviously there's good and bad financial products. I think the word annuity is somewhat misunderstood. I mean, for example, your Social Security, and I know we keep harping on the fact that you better watch out for changes, but your Social Security, your working life, you put money into your Social Security and then you get it back as a lifetime pension, an income stream. That's an annuity. Let's say you win the lottery, Dad. So you win the lottery and you have $2 million. You have a choice. You can take a lump sum in which you get half, or you can put the whole $2 million into an account and you get paid out over 30 years. That account, that's an annuity. I like if you're using the right annuities, there are ones that we have to kind of make sure we educate people on the difference between life annuities, variable annuities, fixed annuities, fixed indexed. There are different, you know, features to different annuities.
Now the difference, like what JR is talking about, is how it grows until you turn it on as an income stream. So there's fixed annuities, there's variable annuities. We'll definitely spend more time on this in other shows. But variable annuities tend to have a ton of fees. They're expensive, and they're market sensitive. Right now, we're worried about the market. So why would we tell you to pay fees towards something that's in the market, right? That's not what we want to do. On the flip side, we've got fixed indexed annuities, extremely boring, but they limit your upside potential by removing your downside risk. So they've got a term, zero's your hero, which not a huge fan of that. But essentially, if you put money into a fixed index annuity and the market goes up, say the market goes up 10%. Well, you don't get all 10%. You get a portion of that. That's, you know, describing the annuities. We'll get back into that. But why it's so important is because those are the only contractual pensions, monthly income, guaranteed for life products out there. There's risks involved in bonds. There's risks involved in dividend paying stocks, all these other things of income. There's variables. You may still potentially outlive it. This is the only contractually guaranteed pension out there. So we're gonna spend a lot more time on this. We love income over assets in retirement. We think that should be the base, you know, when we can move away from there. If you go to rochfordfinancial.com, you can contact us, ask more questions. There's also a blog page on there, and we talk in depth about annuities, the good and the bad. Of course, there's no perfect investment vehicle. So let's talk about the pros and the cons. But overall, I think having a focus on income and retirement is how you're going to be happiest. It's what we've seen in my 4 years. It's what JR's seen in his 25.
Well, and I know we have to wrap it up, but thank you again so much for staying with us. We hope you have a wonderful, blessed Easter, and we'll talk to you again next week. If we can ever help you, we're here. www.rochfordfinancial.com. And thank you so much. Take care.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest if any exist. Investment advisory services offered through Ridge Capital Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor. Ridge Capital Advisors and Rochford & Associates are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through Ridge Capital but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuer.